the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here on UCY.TV radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is March 5th, 2018. It's 8 o'clock here on the West Coast in Eugene, Oregon. And is it a gray day? No, it's not a gray day so far. We're waiting for the chemtrails to arrive. So thank you for joining me. This is actually going to be my last live show before the 3/11 commemoration event. It's not a commemoration because it's still ongoing, I guess. Can't call it an anniversary, but we can't let 3/11 go by without acknowledging it. Anybody who listens to my show likely is as stunned as I am that the world governments are just, excuse me, moving on. Hold on just a second, let me clear my throat. I mean, the world governments are just pretending like nuclear just does not harm anybody. Don't worry about it. So what if it gets above to, 1.2 every once in a while, and or we get it down to 0.01 and then it goes up for unknown reasons in Fukushima back up to 1.5, 6.7. There's a guy in Fukushima posting silent videos. He just goes around Tokyo, actually, I think. An area of Tokyo, and it's stunning. It is stunning how the levels of radioactivity, although we don't go around here in the United States testing our radiation either, the radioactive levels in our area. There was a time when I was doing it incessantly, and here in Eugene, it's consistently high. Portland, it's consistently high. I mean, I have not gone to Albany where the fuse wrap site is, it's probably off the charts over there. And I guess that's the point of the nuclear industry, isn't it? That it doesn't, no big deal, really. It's no big deal. We've been getting radiated for years. So what you worried about? I mean, considering the nuclear radioactivity they bombarded us with during World War II, is Fukushima any big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal because it's ongoing, and it's the first time we've ever had a state of China syndrome where we can't stop it. We have three nuclear power plants in China syndrome that we cannot stop. Everything they do fails. So they get a camera that can go in there for 15 minutes. Woohoo! That's big news. I am stunned that we do not have big announcements on Facebook about 3/11 events. I haven't seen them. I went to the Googles and I only found, of course, the Mothers for Peace. Let me see. I'll try a different search word on Facebook. And maybe it will give us maybe it will give us a list of events of people around on 311. In Las Vegas, they're having something big. 311, seven, there is one, seventh anniversary. I hate to call it an anniversary, though, of Fukushima nuclear accident events and actions. Wow. And it's a, you have to be requested to join. So I'll ask them if I can join all the other 458 members. 458 members is probably how many activists there are worldwide. That would be my guess. I mean, people who like make an effort to put this in their lives. I mean, there has to be more than that. There's probably 10 times more than that, you know? I mean, this is... what is beyond comprehension is I wrote a tweet on the other day on a pro-nuke site in Canada, a Canadian site, talking about how Canada is going to go almost all nuclear and how good nuclear is. And I said, yeah, until it isn't. And then I immediately get back responses about how uninformed I am because the new nuclear sites use their own waste and there's very little waste. Well, very little still means there's some waste. And let's talk about what we currently have. Let's talk about the current inventory of nuclear waste and building. Donna Gilmore's list of nuclear waste was from several years ago. Hundreds of tanks in the United States, thousands of tanks actually, in the United States that are, frankly, not at all well stored. When we have an earthquake anywhere in this country near a nuclear facility, we are going to have a serious problem that, guess what, nobody's going to tell us about. No one. So this is kind of sad that we have all gotten used to this. It's kind of like normalizing traitor Trump and the nepotism that's in the White House and being surprised that Jared Kushner was using his personal business, his position to advance his own personal family's business. I mean, that's what nepotism is all about, isn't it? You get an office and you use the office to make big money. What I find stunning is the reasonable people who like to vote Republican, who are sticking by a man who is clearly immoral, says whatever comes out of his hat, has no idea about economics or policy, has never read the Constitution, has no regard for people of color, makes racial slurs every chance he opens his mouth and talks about a person of color. And we're expecting this guy, who appointed Rick Perry, by the way, Rick Perry, who oversaw Texas's largest nuclear waste spill in its history, to head the Department of Energy, who has, noticingly enough, quite silent, if you hadn't noticed. And that's because he's out there partying. He could care less. They are letting the department fall apart. They do not care. I am just dumbfounded. I thought I'd read our Constitution this morning and sort of go through the Constitution because I don't think people really understand the Constitution. You know, the Constitution starts with the preamble and then it has the articles and then after that it has the amendments, right? And the Second Amendment has been on everybody's mind. And the Second Amendment is very brief and it is... does not say you get to carry war machines in the streets to defend yourself from the government. A well-regulated militia, let's think about that word, well-regulated militia. Militias are made for what? They're local groups of people who are going to protect their own areas, right? And in this term, they were talking about not just the Europeans, you know, government, but they were also talking about Native Americans and runaway slaves. Being necessary to secure a free state, not free to a lot of people, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Being necessary to secure a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's it. That's the Second Amendment. That does not say you get to carry weapons that rips everything apart and can kill people. You can shoot 90 rounds in 1 second. It's outrageous. So let's go back to this. Because I think we've lost sight of our Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. When we tear that apart, when we really think about it, to provide for the common defense, ensure domestic tranquility. That was kind of interesting. They wrote that because they actually murder, death, killed their entire way and lied across the entire United States. And I have a particular interest in, what was it, Article 3? Well, we'll get to it. But the one about commerce, we'll come to it. Article 1, and I'm going to read this whenever I don't have a show. And I'm going to stop reading early enough to talk to you about the 3/11 event. And for me, before I start reading this Constitution, we're at about 11:15. I'm going to read it for about a half an hour. The way we have been lied to in this country about the nuclear waste, the nuclear program, the toxicity of the chemicals, the blatant disregard for human life on this planet, the never-ending war machine, the takeover of our government by the military, the subversion of our Constitution, the coercion of our Congress, when we talk about a deep state, folks, we're talking about a deep, deep state, not just a few powerful one or two people controlling the United States. We're talking about controlling the entire world economic policy. And that's what's being subverted right now in our country. When we destroy our own articles of our Constitution and we refuse to uphold our Constitution, we are participating in the entire destruction. The silence is complicity. All these people that have these secrets at work that they can't talk, like that guy Truth that was on last Monday. He said, well, if I wrote, and he was just building a nuclear power facility, but if he wrote something too critical, they would rewrite his work. That is standard fare in the entire industrial world, especially regards to the nuclear industry. Look at what they're telling us about Fukushima 7 years later. Fukushima is a disaster for everything on this planet, period. And we need every single world government to stand up and pay attention. The United States military actually probably has the man force and the dollars and the money and maybe even the solutions. I don't know. I mean, I've been doing this radio show about 3.5 years. And I came on reporting. I wanted to report with activists and people who have been affected. And I'm going to be dogged. I'm going to keep asking some of these activists to be interviewed on my show. They're busy. They're not inclined to want to come on a show that God knows. The first question is, how many listeners do you get? I don't know. I have no metric. I get no feedback. Maybe there's 18 people, 15 people, 10 people in the chat room. I have no idea who listens. So that doesn't help me when I try to get interviews with people. They're like, well, how many people do you listen to you? Because they don't want to waste their time talking to 10 people. And I suppose I have this philosophy that if one of those 10 needs to hear the message and can make a difference, it's worth it. For me, it's not quantity, it's quality. If the people that are listening and receiving these ideas that we're giving out start to think differently and maybe form some type of an action group, things that I don't know how to do, we all have our strong points. And one of the things that's evident with the nuclear industry is they have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea. They have a model of secrecy and lying. That's their work model. How clever can you lie and manipulate the information and make it seem okay to government agencies so that the major corporation continues to get its funding from the government? Because that's what matters, is the billions and billions and billions of dollars. Why do you think every single nuclear plant goes into overruns? It's billions of dollars. Those guys are rich. They're laughing all the way to the bank. And then the states, after a little while, stop being dumb and go, hey, we're not funding this anymore. And you have a half-built nuclear project somewhere. And then you have this political football of having these guys who are paid to, you know, basically endorsed by the nuclear industry in their political careers, spend 5 or 6 or 7 years working Congress over to try to get it refunded. And in the meantime, they're all getting rich. Frankly, this is the model that we're living in. This is why Fukushima is such a complete disaster. We do not have honesty, integrity, ethics, humanity. Well, I decided I wouldn't rant more than 15 minutes, so I'm going to read the Constitution. I read you the preamble. This is Article 1, Section 1. Now, this has actually been modified by the Legislative Act of 1970. So that's, in fact, another thing that we need to follow up, all the amendments to this thing, because this is just the original Constitution. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for the electors of most of the numerous branches of the state legislature. Now, you know what's interesting about this? This was the original idea. This is not how it works now. I mean, they have pretty much redone how all of this stuff happens, which is why we're in the state we're in. No person excluding me and black people and anybody of color, shall be a representative. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which they shall be chosen. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for terms of years, and excluding persons not taxed, 3/5 of all other persons. So I don't see that they counted women at all. So let's talk to this again. Adding the number of whole free persons, I wonder if I would be considered free. Yes, I guess I'd be considered a free white woman, including those bound to service for a term of years. That means indentured servants, and excluding Indians not taxed. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States and within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed 1 for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative, and until each enumeration shall be made, the state of New Hampshire shall be entitled to choose 3, Massachusetts 8, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations 1, Connecticut 5, New York 6, New Jersey 4, Pennsylvania 8, Delaware 1, Maryland 6, Virginia 10, North Carolina 5, South Carolina 5, and Georgia 3. Those were our states, folks. When vacancies happen in the representation from any state, the executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers, and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Which they are choosing not to do right now, right in the face of it all. quite annoying. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Oh no, this is boring me. I think I'm going to stop in a minute. This is just too much. I have other things that are racing around in my mind, because as I read this, I'm thinking about how they've actually used this document to subvert all of our freedoms, how they've sort of weaponized the Constitution on us. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have 1 vote. Immediately after they shall be assembled, in the consequence of the first election, they shall be divided equally as may be into 3 classes. The seats of the senators of the first class shall be vacated at the expiration of the second year, and of the second class the expiration of the fourth, and the third class the expiration of the sixth year, so that 1/3 may be chosen every second year. This tells us how our elections are run. If vacancies happen by resignation or otherwise during the recess of legislature of any state, the executive thereof may make temporary appointments until the next meeting of the legislature, which shall then fill such vacancies. No person shall be a senator who shall not have attained the age of 30 years, you have to be 30 years old, and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. Shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant. So does that mean you can't be living in that state? That language confuses me. The Vice President of the United States shall be President of the Senate, but shall have no vote unless they be equally divided. The Senate shall choose their other officers, and also a president pro tempore in the absence of the vice president, or when he shall exercise the office of the president of the United States, which is coming up. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for the purpose, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of 2/3 of the members present. So this is why we're not having impeachment. Do we think we could get 2/3 of the Senate to actually vote against traitor Trump? I mean, he'd have to do something pretty egregious to the Republican Party. I don't think they care about ethics or collusion or money laundering or nepotism or making millions of dollars and charging the American people, going golfing every weekend, costing the American taxpayers. We haven't even talked about how many millions it's now costing. That was a conversation when Traitor Trump first got elected. Remember, we were all appalled it was going to cost $1 million a month to protect Melania. We don't even talk about that anymore. That's like a moot point. Who cares? It's just our tax money, right? The rich people got their tax breaks. Wow. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, punishment according to the law. So that would actually be really great if we could get Traitor Trump convicted, but they're not likely to have that happen. They'll probably just let him resign. Kind of create a grand bargain, right? We'll let you guys all not go to jail, but you decide to get out of office. And those contracts that you signed while you were in office, they're all canceled. Section 4, the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, but the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, except as to the places of choosing senators. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. All of that has changed, folks. Section 5. Each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business. but a small number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members in such manner and under such penalties as each House may provide. Ooh, wouldn't that be awesome if the Democrats started compelling the Republicans to join them in the House and in the Senate? Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay. Each House may determine the rules of the proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and with the concurrence of two-thirds expel a member. Wow. Each House shall keep a journal of its proceedings and from time to time publish the same, expecting such parts as may in their judgment require secrecy. The yeas and nays of the members of either House on any question shall, at the desire of one-fifth of those present, be entered into the journal. Wow. So they don't actually have to enter them in unless people ask for it. That's why we get the, we'd like to have a vote, and then it gets counted in. I don't know how many of you guys actually watch C-SPAN, but I do. I think C-SPAN is interesting. I like to watch how Congress works, and I've always, it's kind of been an interesting thing since I've been watching it since about 2000. I guess it's been 2001 when Bush stole the election. That's when I really started watching C-SPAN. The Democrats and the Republicans are hardly ever in the chambers together. When the Republicans have to talk about their issues, they get up and the Democrats are scurrying off looking for their own campaign contributions and doing what they do, and vice versa. When the Democrats are on the floor, the Republicans aren't there. I mean, no wonder we have complete dysfunction. They don't even confer. Like, you know, you watch on C-SPAN, you'll see the British House of Lords and all those people. They get together and they yell at each other and they're like, rawr, rawr. And the House is just a raucous place. In our country, they have pretty much divided it up. When the other side is talking, they don't go. I think that is shameful and a despicable practice that goes against the meaning and sentiment of our Constitution. Okay, so let's get back to this. Neither House during the session of Congress shall, without the consent of the other, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than that in which the two houses shall be sitting. Section 6. The senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services. I think that all makes us really steamed off right now. To be ascertained by law and paid out by the Treasury of the United States, they shall, in all cases, except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses, and in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. Wow. They shall in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of peace. Hmm. So does that mean that we get to disrupt Devin Nunes for his treason? I mean, he has fully participated in obstruction of justice. That is for sure. Section 7, all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. Every bill shall have passed the House of Representatives and the Senate shall, before it become a law, be presented to the President of the United States. If he approve, he shall sign it, and if not, he shall return it with his objections to that House in which it shall have originated, who shall enter the objections at large on their journal and proceed to reconsider it. If after such reconsideration, two-thirds of that House shall agree to pass the bill, it shall be sent together with the objections to the other House, by which it shall likewise be reconsidered, and if approved by two-thirds of that House, it shall become law. Ha ha, that means the president doesn't count in this case. But in all such cases, the votes of both houses shall be determined by yeas and nays, and the names of the persons voting for and against the bill shall be entered on the journal of each house respectively. In other words, you've got to be accountable. If any bill shall not be returned to the president within 10 days, Sundays excepted, it shall have been presented to him, the same shall be a law in like manner as if he had signed it, unless the Congress, by their adjournment, prevent its return, in which case it shall not be a law. There you go. That's how it's working, or supposed to work. This is not actually how it works, though. Every order, resolution, and vote to which the concurrence of the Senate and House of Representatives may be necessary, except on a question of adjournment, shall be presented to the President of the United States. And before the same shall take effect, shall be approved by him, or being approved, disapproved by him, shall be repassed by two-thirds of the Senate and the House of Representatives, according to the rules and limitations described in the case of a bill. Section 8. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, excise, and to pay debts and to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow money on the credit of the United States, that is an interesting one, they have the power to borrow money, to regulate commerce with foreign nations, and among the several states, and with the Indian tribes. To establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. To coin money, regulate the value thereof, and foreign coin, and of foreign coin, and to fix the standard of weights and measures. To provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. To establish post offices and post roads, that's interesting. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive rights to their respective writings and discoveries. Wow, that means allow patents. To constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. To define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations. The law of nations. That's a phrase I'm unfamiliar with, but I'm sure it means something big. To declare war, grant letters, and mark and reprisal. To make rules concerning captures on land and water. Wow. To raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. So, hello. We've had nonstop war since we've been going. So how did they get around that one from the get-go? Wow. To provide and maintain a navy. To make rules for the government and the regulation of the land and naval forces. To provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. To call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union and suppress insurrections. And repel invasions. To provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, which I guess we now call the industrial military complex, for the governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline described by Congress. To exercise legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 square miles, as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needed buildings. And to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. Wow, that's a big phrase, isn't it? To exercise legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may, by secession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States, to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Wow. Okay, then. Section 9. The migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1808, but a tax or duty may be imposed on such importation, not exceeding $10 for each person. The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it. Well, we've already given up the writ of habeas corpus, haven't we? No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. No capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. No tax or duty shall be laid on articles exported from any state. No preference shall be given by any regulation of commerce or revenue to the ports of one state over those of another, nor shall vessels bound to or from one state be obliged to enter, clear, or pay duties to another. No money shall be drawn from the treasury. Oops, that's one they've overlooked a little while there. Okay. No money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law or a regular statement or account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, except of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. So this is where Traitor Trump and his little gang of thieves have really, they didn't even read the Constitution. And in fact, when this went to court, because Congress is not trying impeachment, the court basically threw it out and said, this is a matter for Congress to uphold the law. We're not saying you don't have merit. We're saying this is not the right place to do it. Section 10. No state shall enter into a treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Let me see what time it is. Sorry about this. Oh, good. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports and exports, except that which may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws. And the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on imports and exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States, and all such laws shall be subject to the revision and control of the Congress. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in times of peace, enter in any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. So maybe we're actually, that was just Article 1, folks. That's Article 1. How many articles do we have? Do we know? Seven articles from George Washington of the United States, who signed. They signed it. Deputy from Virginia, president and deputy from Virginia, he signed it. I'm not going to keep reading because every chance I get when I have a show where I don't have a guest, I'm going to continue in on this one because I don't know about you, but I think when I found out about Fukushima, I was dumbfounded that we weren't taking legal action against Japan. I actually called Mary Wood's office. She runs the environmental law conference, the environmental law division. She's one of their big teachers. I had gone to many of her conferences about our collapsing climate. I mean, I met her, and I called her office after that. I was stunned. I was shocked. They wanted nothing to do with it. I called them up and said, hey, I want to file a class action lawsuit. Like, this is outrageous. That is going to affect us. It's coming here. They're not stopping it. You know what they told me at the University of Oregon? They said, that's too far away. It doesn't affect us. It's none of our business. I'm dumbfounded. By the way, if anybody wants to give me a call, the phone number is 718-717-8296. That's UCY's number. I think you can call in there. If not, you could probably reach me on mine is 718-717-8106. And if anybody has been trying to call and you can't get in, send me a private message, you know, through Facebook and let me know because there's no real feedback here, so I have no idea. It's that same thing like when I talk to people who want to be on our show and they say, how many people do you reach? And I'm like, I don't know. We reach maybe 50,000, I'll guess. And then they ask, well, where'd you get that? I'm like, I don't know, from my wildest dreams. I have no idea. So let me know if you have been trying to get through and you just can't. I'm going to keep on, though. Obviously, we have about 15 minutes left. So this is the thing. After looking around, it doesn't look like there's much going on. Of course, the Mothers for Peace are doing their annual event, Fukushima Ongoing Disaster, Sunday, March 11th, 2018, 4 to 5 p.m. at Ito Park. And that is 170 Brook Street, San Luis Obispo. The program will include a recording of the beautiful Mozart motet sung at Fukushima to commemorate the disaster. You are also invited to bring short readings to show a quote, a poem, or other readings. Please consider joining us at Big Sky following the event. Please email Evie to make a reservation for dinner. evyjust@gmail.com. Rain cancels the event. Okay, so, and then No Nukes Northwest, Heidi Lambert, who has been a guest on our show, and hopefully she'll be able to return soon. She's busy with work and her kids. She and I have sort of agreed, because we were going to go up to, with a group of people, to the Japanese embassy and protest, right, in Portland. But because we're in Oregon, there is actually along the coast a statue called Amanda's Trail. And there's a statue to this older woman. She was an old woman who was ripped away from her children and her family by the Americans and forced to walk. And walked to the point where they were walking them over jaggedy rocks along the coast to the reservation. And her feet, she was blind, and she was walking. She couldn't even see. She felt the pain, I guess, in her feet. But she left a trail of blood. You could actually track her. So there was a statue and a monument put up in her honor and in the honor of all the people who are forced to evacuate their homes and go live on a reservation and just the torture of all that happened. And it's at Cape Perpetua here in Oregon, and there's a statue. There's like a 7-long-mile trail called Amanda's Trail. You can look it up online. We're going to do a commemoration there. It's up above Newport a little bit, I believe. It's about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours away from Eugene. Me and I hope Jerome will join us, Kevin Finnegan, And Louisa Hamacek and maybe some other local anti-nukers are going to, we're going to walk out there and build an altar at Amanda's statue in commemoration of the people who are forced to be moving back into Fukushima and the people who can never go back home. And the people, frankly, who are being lied to by the Japanese government and the Atomic Energy Agency in their faces when they know they're being lied to straight up. This is a crime against humanity, much like the atrocities that happened in the United States were crimes against humanity, where people were forced and ripped away from their homes and forced to live in abject poverty, stripped from their children, their families. You know, many of the Native Americans in the Northwest, they did not fight the Westerners. They cooperated. They wanted to be friends with them. And then the American government decided to just round them up. Oregon is famous for being a racist state. So in its laws, in its first law, you know, when it first created itself, you were not allowed to be black, and there was no free persons, and all the Indians had to be on reservations. And so it's kind of got a very dark, dark past. And actually, it's got a dark present. There's a lot of racism still here. So we're going to drive out there and do a commemoration and build an altar. And we're going to document it on our videos and make some posts. I imagine that Jerome and Kevin Finnegan and Louisa will have some things to say. We'll document it all. But it is actually beyond comprehension, frankly, that the world just seems to have... Well, you know, we might have something on the news on 3/11. Oh, this is the seventh anniversary of Fukushima, that disaster. That, don't worry, they're handling it. They've cleaned it up except for those no-go zones. You know, the deal is with the no-go zones, they're still spewing radioactivity into our environment. The plan for the people of Fukushima is to dump all those millions of gallons of tank water into the Pacific Ocean. All at once, too, within a short period of time. I imagine, you know, they can't just do it all at once. It's a process. It's not going to be easy. They have to figure out a way to do that, too. Cha-ching, cha-ching. The nuclear priesthood rides again. I mean, it is beyond comprehension. I follow these pro-nuke groups on Twitter and make comments, and their ignorance is just... And what's interesting is they look at us like we're ignorant. Because we don't believe in the nuclear power, like new power. All they hear is new power, not killer. They don't hear the killer part, new killer power. It is a killer. Nuclear kills. There is no good man-made nuclear atomic energy source, period. And the sad fact is, if we stop today, if by God some chance... that we got them to shut down every single nuclear facility, stop every project, stop the uranium mining, stop all of it. We have enough trouble on our hands already. We have a deep, deep, deep problem. It is like suicidal for us to continue with the nuclear industry. We talk about the gun control and these youth students. I was thinking about this, like how interesting this is. It's almost like 1984 where the youth rat out their parents. Mommy, they said they can't do this. Now I'm going to go tell Big Brother. Well, you know, I'm not against reasonable gun control. Many of you already have heard that. I don't believe in war. I don't believe in military weapons being in the hands of people. I don't believe in the ongoing industrial military complex. That whole thing needs to be shut down, but war is profitable. They're making billions of dollars. The gun industry, why do you think FedEx won't denounce the NRA? Because they're making money shipping their products. Okay, I can understand why FedEx will give the NRA a discount. That's a customer service base. But, you know, do I get a discount on Delta Airlines for being a member, a card-carrying member of the ACLU? No. I'm a proud member of the ACLU, to tell you the truth. They have done a lot of great work, and they stand up for people. You know, we are in a nation that is really eating off its own arms. We have Carl Tuckerson or Tucker Carlson on Fox News berating the very people who's watching him. He makes fun of people. His smug little face, he knows he's lying to people. You can see it right on his face. He says the most outrageous things. And yet I've seen people that I respect who think, oh, he's my guy. Tell it like it is, Tucker. For real. It's like believing that the nuclear industry is actually good for us. Or the, you know, this is food. It's cradle to grave. These guys have thought left. Now, talk about deep state. And for those of you that think Traitor Trump is part of the deep state, he was an unwitting actor. He was a puppet, well played. And, you know, he's bumbled his way into getting caught in all kinds. If he had just kept his trap shut, their little plan would have gone off, you know, unfettered. But he can't stop with the tweeting. And on top of that, you know, they were looking at him. The CIA, the FBI, they've been looking at him because of Australia and Switzerland and the United Kingdom. They all ratted out these traitors to our own government. Our own government hadn't caught them. And that's an interesting thing. Why hadn't they caught them? If they have the right to listen to every single conversation, why is it that we have conversations being reported to the CIA from the Australian government, from the Swiss, from the Germans, from the British? How is it that they informed our CIA of these conversations and they didn't catch him? For the same reason that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in court right now saying that they had a right to steal the primary from Bernie as a matter of First Amendment rights. Literally, that's their defense. I mean, Fukushima is not going to go away. It is the number one event that everyone's ignoring. And that's why Heidi and I, when we talked about it, you know, it seems to make sense that some little tucked away statue giving homage to people who were subjected to the crimes of the United States, that's a great place to build an altar to the women and children who are being forced to move back into Fukushima and forced into silence by the secrecy laws of Japan, which, by the way, are very, very real. There are people in jail. There are journalists in jail. There are people in Japan who lose their ability to go to a doctor because they keep insisting that their illnesses are caused by radioactivity. You're not allowed to say that. Doctors say no. The doctors are being told to deny science in Japan. And they are clicking their heels and saying, Sieg Heil, or bowing to the emperor, I guess. I am inviting anybody on the West Coast who wants to join us. You can find Amanda's Trail on the Googles. It's up in Cape Perpetua. I think we're going to be up there about noon and walk over to the statue. From my understanding, the statue is about a mile away from where you park your car, so you have to go down this trail. And we are doing it rain or shine. It does not matter. We're in Oregon. If it rains, we're wearing our boots or, you know, our galoshes. And if it doesn't rain, we just wear our regular boots because it's muddy. And, you know, we're going to go out in the forest and build an altar. And I'm going to bring my drums. I hope that we can do a drum circle and sing and chant and pray for Mother Earth, because we are in a catastrophe unlike the planet has ever seen. I could sit and read to you the nuclear alerts for 10 minutes. I pull them all up, and it's this usual murder, death, kill, you know, unanalyzed condition, potential, unable to safely specify, accident mitigation at Point Beach, Wisconsin. You know, there's one at the Quad Cities in Illinois, unanalyzed condition, accident mitigation, power up at Unit 2, back up to 85%. You know what that means? They haven't fixed the solution. But people in Wisconsin, Indiana, you know, all of those states, we have over 100 nuclear power facilities in this country. Most of them are east of the Mississippi. And we have a whole millions of people who are living, they have had to just sort of check out. They just like click their brains off when it comes to, I might be negatively affected because I live within 50 miles of a nuclear power facility. I'm being told that it's okay, so I'm not going to worry about it. They would tell us when there is a nuclear catastrophe. They'll tell you, by the time they tell you, folks, it's way too late. In fact, every one of these nuclear facilities do not warn you when they are going to clean their vents and open up their vents and allow all the radioactivity to escape for a 24-hour period. In the United States, they do not warn people of that. They average the cost of radiation through the year and tell you that your risk of radioactive contamination is low, which doesn't make sense because they bombard you for a week or 2 weeks every year. And then when you get cancer or your kids get childhood diabetes or childhood cancer or your children are schizophrenic or they have microencephaly, they're like, not from the nuclear industry. Your risk is way too low. Although for a week and a half, if you were pregnant living right next door to a nuclear power facility, your little baby inside your stomach might have been contaminated by the radioactive contaminants escaping. That's the kind of thing we're thinking about here, folks. I've thought about, why do I keep doing this radio show? What is the point of it? The point is, it's quality, not quantity. If one person hears this message and we're looking for Gandhi here, folks. We're looking for somebody who can stop our governments and make them all stop and take this threat seriously. And Fukushima is the crown, but you know what? There could be worse ones than Fukushima. We could have it worse. Watch this earthquake happen up here in the Cascadia Fault Zone with Hanford. Bye-bye, West Northern Hemisphere. And then all the activism in the world won't matter. I think we need to be proactive and figure out how to put the pressure. I regularly call my elected officials. Thank you very much. We'll let them know. Then I get these letters. Thank you for contacting us regarding the use of nuclear power weapons. I call them about Columbia Generating Station, and I get a freaking form letter about stopping nuclear weapons on the world. I mean, it is the disconnect between what I receive back from my elected officials and what I say to them is beyond comprehension. Again, another tactic to keep people inactive. I see we only have a few minutes here, folks. I want to thank everybody for joining me. Tomorrow I'm going to have a pre-recorded interview with Patty Amino, and I'll be back with you next Monday. And, you know, it is really up to us to make a decision, to do what we can do, to reach out to the organizations and keep reaching out. Because these people that have been involved in these organizations, they've been doing it 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They look at newbies as like, yeah, you're going to drop off your interest. So they don't want to invest a lot of time. It doesn't matter. Keep going. Because Fukushima is not stopping. The nuclear threats in your own neighborhood are not stopping. The harm to your children has not even been seen. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. We know it's here. It's not coming. It's here. And as I read in the Constitution, it's all been subverted. So, you know, we can't quite rely on that, but we can keep pushing back. I personally am going to keep pushing for democracy and equality and justice. So I encourage everybody to put your courage feet on. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, KEPW. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.